At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome in. We are live. I'm Jeff Berkus. This is A Hard Knocks Life. We're going to be reviewing the Chicago Bears on the HBO show Hard Knocks. It's going to be 5 episodes. This is episode 1. And my guest this week, Dr. Mason West. Mason, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think I would ever get to see the Bears on Hard Knocks. And seeing it come to fruition today was pretty cool. I got chills during the intro.
I mean, I got chills during the intro. I got chills during the Chicago Bulls intro music that they did for Caleb Williams. Like, I'm a Hard Knocks junkie. Okay. I'll admit it. I've watched every season. I watch it every year. I don't care if it's the Jets or the Jags, everybody in between. I'm in, right?
Yeah.
It's football content. To me, it's like a rite of passage. I know that the summer's starting to come to an end. You're starting to be like, I need to kind of get this in, you know, before the summer closes, because Hard Knocks is on. That means we're getting close, right? And so for the fact that the Chicago Bears, my favorite football team, are finally on this show, it's really a dream come true. So what were your expectations coming in, and what are the things that kind of hit you? Just big picture before we get into an episode recap.
Yeah. So just big picture. You know, I was worried a little bit going into this because there's been some clunkers of Hard Knocks seasons as of late. You know, COVID was weird, but I didn't love that double LA one that they did. You also, you know, had the Jets one you mentioned last year, where it was just basically Aaron Rodgers love fest. And that was
And magicians.
And that blew everyone's mind. So I was worried that that would happen, right? I mean, the Bears, if you ask a random NFL fan, someone who's a Steelers fan, a Dolphins fan, whatever, I don't think the Bears exactly exude cool right now to a lot of the fan base. So this was going to be our team, the team that we love, you know, on center stage. And what I saw in this episode, I think it had some swag to it. There were some cool moments. I was worried that they would go super hard into the nostalgia factor, but I think the way that, even in the intro, right, the reflection of the past in the buildings, but then the focus of the live actual, you know, modern, what they shot was a cool balance between it.
Yeah, the intro is fire. Like, I mean, it's great because it's got that old NFL films voiceover with that great voice, and it's, you know, the Chicago Bears, George Halas, you know, like all that stuff. I love that stuff. I'm an NFL films junkie. I've seen all that stuff. I think it's fantastic. They did a nice shot with the city shots and putting the grates on the buildings and kind of working through establishing the city shots. I thought that was really great. But, you know, you're right. It doesn't need to be about the past, because this is the pivot to the future, right? And the Hall of Fame game was really great for that, because you had, you know, McMichael going in,
right,
when, you know, kind of this closure of this 85 Bears. Probably you have, you know, the Devin Hester going in, the last Super Bowl team, you know, he was on that. So you have this like celebration of these two great teams of the past, really those the past two eras that had that real success. But now you're pivoting to this new era, this new hope in Caleb Williams. So it's a really fun time for them to focus on the Bears for Hard Knocks. And it's also a fun time because there's some interesting personalities, and I'm really excited to get to know a little bit more of them. But I want to start, we're going to have some categories, but I think just like running down for those that didn't see it, or maybe like, you know, it was on in the background while you're doing other stuff on your Sunday night, just some things that stuck out to us in an episode recap. What were the two or three things that kind of stuck out to you as big markers here?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's any surprise, but I mean, this is going to be Caleb Williams centric, right? I mean, you start with Caleb in the draft of him. I would have liked if they threw in, because there's a couple of moments where the way they're talking about a first round pick, like give Roma Doomsday a little love. I mean, he was barely in this episode at all. But yeah, it was really about Caleb, you know, zipping over to what they normally do. I know like there were some conversations earlier, chat that we were both part of, where we're talking about how much is Fluce going to be even in this, like, you know, the fact that showing his home, his family, the get together that they had. I mean, you could fast forward to cool Fluce vibing up with the haircut. I mean, there was a lot more Eberflus in this than I really thought there was going to be. And you could definitely tell. One thing I did want to highlight too, actually, so I was watching with my wife because I've made her watch it with me because I thought I'm really excited about this. And the initial, what they were showing with Caleb and kind of the negative plays. And there was a lot of, you know, and I get what they were, I knew what they were doing, but she's sitting there and she's like, this guy kind of sucks. And I'm surprised that's where they decided to go with that first quarter of the episode.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, they definitely were showing that, you know, hey, it's not easy. It's a hard position, and showing that process and everything. I thought that was really interesting. It was really great. And I know a lot of guys are trying to get their wives to watch this with them, right? Like trying to, you know, share this experience. And, you know, I certainly watch it on the couch with my wife, and I, you know, a couple times I looked over and she was looking at her phone. So probably not the most engaged that she could have been. But when Simone Biles came on screen, mm-hmm. she was like, hey, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that Simone was going to be in this episode. I'm like, well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen, but you had to assume that there was a pretty good chance of that. I think one of the other things that stuck out, and we talked about the Bulls intro music. I mean, that was so cool. I mean, especially a kid in the 90s, you know, that watched those Jordan teams. You recognize those notes like within a split second, and you're like, they're doing this thing. And that was a really cool, that was a highlight for me. They showed Cole Kmet throwing out the first pitch of the Cubs game. I missed that. First of all, he's a southpaw. Secondly, he threw a good ball. I mean, it might've been off the plate, but like it looked like a pretty good pitch.
Yeah.
So but that was pretty impressive. The rookie, I mean, let's not call it hazing because that's a pretty negative word, but the rookie, you know, everybody has to kind of perform, and the first guy they show performing is Caleb. Terrible.
Not good. Awful.
Wow. I mean, like a terrible singer. So hopefully that doesn't have any sort of correlation with quarterbacking a football team, but whew, like that was rough. There was a gentleman that may have been a worse singer, but definitely stole the show, and that was the rookie Benedette. I would have assumed it was Benedet.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was surprised
he's Canadian. I figured it was like kind of like a French thing. Wouldn't pronounce the T. Anyway, so this guy comes up, takes his shirt off, and you're like, "What's happening?" He starts singing "Proud to Be an American," and he rips off his pants to reveal Eagle Speedos. I'm dying laughing at this point.
And that's how he gets the nickname Eagle now.
And now he's Eagle, right? Gets hurt in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting, I wouldn't call it a highlight necessarily, but that was an interesting moment. First of all, I don't know the last time I've been surprised, laughed that hard. And then we got a Nick Saban appearance. Did you know that Eberflus played for Coach Saban when they were at Toledo?
Yeah, that was one of those random nuggets of info that I somehow did actually know. I just didn't realize how close they still were, you know, because Saban's coached how many players? I mean, not going all the way back to Toledo, and the fact that he's willing to come. And I mean, yes, it helps that his former, player is now a NFL head coach. But still, though, to have that connection to come to camp and really just to be a sounding board for Eberflus, that conversation that they were having. I mean, one of our categories later, I mean, I have a little quote from that. I'm not going to say it right now, but there's a lot of good, not even coach speakiness, like not that cliche stuff, but just truly good leadership conversations that were happening.
Yeah, I have some of that too. I definitely don't want to burn it before we get into the categories. And then you talked about a little bit, how much is Coach Eberflus going to be in this series? If the first episode is any indication, he's going to be in it a lot, right? You said you talked about the glow up, the barber, the things like that, you know, has the wife and his daughters that were in the episode, like said, showed his house, which looks pretty nice. And
for people who are not from Chicago, if you're watching this, like that is not what a lot of the houses look like. That's not where we're chilling at.
No, it's a lakefront property, right? I mean, it might be up and out of the city, but it's there. It's up on the lake. So pretty nice. So, all right. So we're going to go through our categories and, you know, these may shift and change throughout the life of the 5-episode series that we're about to put out. This is what we came up with to start off with. And the show's called A Hard Knock's Life. So we leaned into that a little bit here. So the first category is going to be the Annie Award. And this is the best underdog moment. So those of you that watch Hard Knocks regularly know that one of the storylines that they like to produce is the underdog story. They usually like to follow Ross or Bubble guys and kind of show their, you know, their journey. And you kind of start rooting for some of these guys, like, oh, I hope he makes the roster. I hope he catches on somewhere else if he doesn't make this roster. So the Annie underdog category, who did you have?
So I might be taking the low hanging fruit here, but I went with Colin Johnson. I just think not just what he did in the Hall of Fame game in and of itself, right? You know, 3 catches, 2 touchdowns. They didn't show the real highlight catch on the sideline, which I thought was odd. I mean, that was a, you know, Moss-esque catch. But the conversation on the sideline is what stuck to me. You know, you saw Caleb talking to DJ and I believe it was DeMarcus Walker. And, you know, they're talking about Colin Johnson and how many receivers you're going to keep. Is he going to make the roster? And I mean, I think it's twofold. A, the fact that he made an impression to be talked about by some of these leaders of the team, but also B, you know, that players have conversations like this, you know, the same combos that you have in, you know, your text chains and your office and all that stuff. These players are having to an extent too, and they don't really know any better either who's going to be the 5th, 6th receiver.
Yeah, I think Colin Johnson's like a name that I didn't really know that well before coming into that game. And I was at that game, and it was all of a sudden like, oh, this is going to be the Colin Johnson game. And then they say that in the episode, and you're like, yeah, that's a thing that definitely happened. I wish I would have heard the commentary from the TV broadcast. You know, when I was in the press box, so I didn't hear the audio, but then hearing that for the first time where they set up in Hard Knocks to say, well, this is going to be, you're going to hear Lee Schreiber's voiceover of this is, you know, Colin Johnson and Brett Rypien. So I'll take the other half of that. I think that, you know, you have to have the other half of that combination. And Brett Rypien came in and really controlled the offense and looked really good. He's fighting to be the backup quarterback. You know, he's a 28-year-old guy. He's a little bit older than, say, Tyson Bajan, who I think, you know, a lot of Bears fans really liked last year, got some starting experience as a rookie. And so I think there's a real battle there for the backup quarterback. And it's going to be really interesting to see because there's really limited reps in practice to get an eval off of those two guys. And so it's also going to be like, well, you know, who of those guys, you know, is most comfortable supporting Caleb? Who do you feel best at if Caleb has to miss some time? So some really interesting storylines there, but he definitely looked really good. And in the Hall of Fame game, just kind of FYI, there was also Davis Mills and Case Keenum, who are much more have much more starting experience in the league. And they look pretty good for their offenses, but the Bears had more points at the end of this game, even if the game ended early because of weather. So I think that connection there really, you know, propelled the Bears to a victory in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. And I do think it matters now. You know, Legion was playing against the second string technically and Rypien maybe the third. I mean, however you want to look at that. But it is interesting in the show, they definitely didn't highlight Bajan. If you watch the Hall of Fame game, the offense didn't really do much when Bajan was in there. And I know I've had conversations. I don't think that's a lock by any means. I mean, he went 2-2. And I believe in the broadcast of the game, I don't know if you caught this, if you looked at it later, Joe Buck was talking about how good Bajan did last year as they put on the screen the fact that he threw 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Like, yes, you went 2-2 with that, but you didn't exactly, you know, light the world on fire. And exactly like you said, I mean, Brett Rypien went out there and he, no pun intended, ripped it and did a very good job. And you might find that the kind of backup you want for Caleb might just be who do you want? Do you want someone who's going to come in and win you games consistently? Do you want more of a mentor? Can it be both? Is it both? I mean, you really have to balance that out, especially that Bajan has, you know, the slightest of upper hands where, you know, right, he's got more of a connection directly right now to Poles and Eberflus with what the experience he's had versus Rippon, right? He's got a little different thought process there.
And he doesn't have that experience with the offensive coordinator. It's a new system, right? So you don't necessarily get to roll that over. So I think that's interesting. And again, underdog moment. A lot of times that's really a focus of this show. It wasn't necessarily in this first episode, at least, because it was so focused on Eberflus and Caleb, but DJ Moore. We didn't even mention DJ Moore getting the contract extension shown there, which was the most DJ Moore thing ever. Like, just gets interrupted in practice, comes up, shakes some hands, goes back to practice, and then his reaction is like a thumbs up to the camera. Like,
yeah, just low-key telling teammates, like, oh, by the way, I understand this huge deal. Like, and the teammates are blown away for him, and he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I signed the largest contract in Chicago Bears history.
NBD.
Shrug. But added 4 years to my 2 years already, so I'm here for another 6 years. I loved it. It was amazing. That was great. That was a great moment too. All right, let's move on to the next category. This is the Jay-Z award. Of course, Jay-Z had Hard Knocks Life song, really big when that came out. I don't know, I think I was in college. So
great song.
Great song. So I'm just, Jay-Z's cool. We're gonna call this the coolest moment. I think you can go pretty much anywhere. What did you have for the coolest moment of the first episode?
I feel bad because you already mentioned this, but like, I couldn't get over the Caleb slow motion walk through the locker room. That's a dope locker room, by the way, like the dark, but you got some of the lights on the lockers. You get the media snippets talking about Caleb Williams. And then you get that slow roll, like you said, those couple notes, the 90s music of that Bulls intro. And then you have, you know, him actually saying, you know, from, you know, announcing Caleb Williams. That was cool. Like, I couldn't get over that.
Sorry. I stepped on it early, but it was just such a highlight for me. Like, I'm going to go back. We're going to finish this and I'm going to be too amped up to go to bed. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch the episode again. Yeah. And I'm going to probably rewind that moment a couple times. That's how cool that was. It's amazing. And again, for anybody that grew up on the Jordan Bulls, like, it's a special moment. And then to have that applied to your favorite football team, I don't know, man. Like, I loved it. I did want to mention, let's have and I agree with you, it has to be that. But I want to have an honorable mention to Jalen Johnson's car. What in the world is Jalen Johnson's car that he was driving? It was like this little, do you know? I mean, I'm not a car guy.
No idea. I'm not a car guy either. So I have no clue what that was, but that thing looked like it was from space.
Yeah. We're going to have to figure that out. I believe that I saw that car in the background. Caleb, I think it was Caleb getting interviewed by NFL Network or something. This was, you know, obviously early in camp, and the car whipped by and he yelled something. Maybe it was either Caleb or maybe Montez Sweat or something. And I think Stacey Dales looked over and was like, that's a cool car. And you couldn't really see it because it was in the background and it was kind of hidden by some shrubbery. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. That's what it was. That was definitely what it was. It was Jalen's car. Very cool car. We'll get somebody to tell us what that car is down the line, but it was very cool. I think Jay-Z would approve of that car. That was why I needed to write it down for that category.
I mean, we're pretty sure that Jay-Z has to own that car, right? In our reality.
I don't know. Is he a car collector? Is he like Jay Leno?
I don't know if he's on Jay Leno status or not, but if anyone was going to, it'd be Hova.
All right, real quick, we're gonna take a quick break. On the other side of this, we'll get to the rest of our categories, and then we'll maybe get into some comments. So stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Mason, we're back. This one I had as a category is just best soundbite. Is there something that somebody said that was just particularly interesting, or like a quote or something like that? You mentioned the Saban stuff. I've got a Saban quote that I like, so I'm curious if we're on the same page here.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple I could pull here. I'm deciding between two. I think the one that spoke to me the most probably, though, was you got to be somebody that somebody can emulate. I just think that for me personally, you know, as I'm now a clinic director, so I'm working on leadership skills myself. And I think that's so true. And if we as a world, not to go on a soapbox or anything, but if we as a world really try to make ourselves into someone that someone else wants to be, just as a person, as a leader, as a husband, a wife, a this, a that, whatever, it would be a better place. And I just think that we can all take that and we can strive to be someone that someone else wants to emulate.
Yeah, I think that Saban moment, my quotes actually, I think, pulled maybe like 30 seconds before that moment there. But Saban said, you can't be a transactional leader. You need to be a transformational leader. And he went into how, you know, so often it's like, well, that play worked, so it's good. That play didn't work, so it's bad. Like, that's not real. Like, that can't be about the result. It's got to be about process, and they have to believe in you. It really made sense. And I think some of these things can feel a little cliche sometimes, and you can kind of get disillusioned, like football guy talk and all that. But some of that stuff's real leadership talk, right? Some of that's like, that's how you get guys to follow where you're trying to go. Like, you have a vision for where you want to go. And if you walk that, if you actually try to build the relationships, that's when people follow you. Not, you know, because, oh, I look at all the banners on the wall, you should follow me because of that. Some people will do that, but really when it gets thick and when it gets hard, it's because you've made those relationships. And that's, I think it's just, I did not know that they had the Saban relationship, that Eberflus had this Saban relationship. So I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a really good quote. Definitely something that you can take with you in your real life that you may not have been exposed to otherwise.
Yeah.
All right. So similar to the best soundbite is the best football guy-ism. And I just, you know, when you watch football guys just talk, sometimes things stick out that are just like, you probably only hear that from a football guy or on a football field. Was there anything like that that sticks out?
For me, I had to go with something that Eberflus said, because he is one of the most football-y of football guys. Near the beginning, he said, winning doesn't make you a winner. Losing doesn't make you a loser. Winning habits make you a winner. Losing habits make you a loser. And to an extent, I agree with that. But, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights thing, where it's like,
If you're not first, you're last
kind of thing. You know, like, hell, you could be second, third, like all that stuff. You know, at the end of the day, like, I get what he's saying, but like, if you win, you're a winner for that moment, for that week in football, you're a winner. If you lose, you're kind of a loser. But really at the heart of it, right, you know, winning habits of role in theory propel you. And Colin Johnson had something similar to that, right? When he was talking about being prepared and practicing. That's what Eberflus is trying to instill in these guys, because that's what's going to carry them, not just through this year, but to future years when new rookies come in. You're just trying to create a standard, like teams that, you know, the Steelers have had forever, that you can just be a long-term franchise.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely stuck out to me as being football cliche, and it definitely is not best quote. It's football cliche. For me, the footballism, the football guyism, came a little earlier than that, I think, when they were at the house for like the let's have a party, and all the kids were playing little pickup football, and someone like said, hey, the kids are over there playing a football game. And so the Eberflus looks over and watches, and he says something like, well, apparently no one can rush the passer. And he's like, you got to get that ball out in 2.5 seconds or something like that. And I was like, it's a sack. And I was like, oh, this is so football guy. And maybe his wife or one of the wives says, they're kids. Like that was like the last audio that you hear of the clips. Like they're kids, like, stop it. Like you got like, let them have fun. But he applies this like, hey, you got to get rid of the ball. Get after the passer. What's happening here? Somebody got to rush the quarterback here.
Yeah, I thought coach is always going to coach. Always. Can't take that coach's whistle off.
It was so funny. That was exactly what I was looking for this category, was this like ridiculous application of the football guy that you just can't take out of it. All right. I've got like one more category. I do want to like make sure that we circle back. And is there anything else in the episode that we want to touch on before we close? But the last category is fairly simple. And that is, who won the episode? Like who kind of sticks out as like, yep, this person won the episode.
Yeah. And I definitely, the way I took this category is, again, if you're a Chargers fan watching this, who do you leave the episode want, you know, feeling for, connecting with, something of that nature? There's, you know, at least three people I can think of, but I ended up having to go ultimately for me with DJ Moore. Okay. Just the consistency that they were able to show within that small period of time. Again, a little bit of that swagger almost, and that containment of like, yeah, I just signed, like you said, the biggest contract in Bears history. And, you know, what he talked to Keenan Allen about, where he's like, yeah, I signed the contract, but I'm still me. I'm still going to put that work in. You know how it is. And then you see that connection that Keenan already has with DJ. And just like, it just had left me with a very good feeling that like, that's the reason you pay that guy, because he's not the one who's going to, you know, mail it in. And you're seeing that with a couple players. You know, Jalen Johnson's been saying the right things after he got paid, things like that. But to see it on film, to see the interaction, how happy his teammates were for him too. I mean, you could be easily, people could be jealous or, you know, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, like, no, they're happy for DJ, and DJ's the consummate professional. And I'm just excited to see what the heck's going to be going from here.
I mean, how cool is this wide receiver trio that you have? DJ Moore can sign an additional 4-year extension. He's here for 6 years and he can act like that. Like, just be like, okay, cool, I don't have to worry about that. Thumbs up, you know, just like totally chill, cool. Keenan Allen seems wise, totally like just absolutely the elder statesman, I guess, of the group, but like just seems totally in it. And, you know, as a hard worker, they highlighted him a little bit. And then you've got the rookie Roma Dunze, who can learn from those two guys that have been in it, have produced and been productive at the NFL level. But also, like, he's there, like he's locked in and focused and has that really solid attitude that, I mean, he's just got this great infectious attitude as well. So I hope that they continue to highlight that wide receiver trio throughout the series, because, you know, I think you're right. Like, DJ won because he just signed the biggest contract in Chicago Bears history. That's a pretty good, you know, station to shoot from. I've got a few names written down. You know, like you could make the argument for like Colin Johnson, because who the heck is Colin Johnson before this? You know, so if you like the underdog, that's a good choice. I had DJ written down. I had Ryan Poles written down, because I mean, this is his game, man. Like, this everything here is a Ryan Poles thing, and he had the extension that he got highlighted there. Of course, Caleb, you know, they talked about the big trade. That's Ryan Poles. Like, all that stuff is him. I think you could go that way. I think you could go Fluce, just because of how much he was in the episode. I'm gonna just throw this out there though. Kelly Aberflus wins the episode. She got a one-on-one camera shot. She's with her daughters in the stands. She was there. She had multiple lines, and she took full responsibility for the Fluce glow up.
She absolutely owned that. Yeah.
It was after the season. It sounded like he had a little Aberflus started growing a little bit of probably a depression beard, like probably a little bit of a, like, you know, season's over, I'm kind of sad, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm tired, I'm just gonna like let the beard grow a little bit. And she's like, I like that, you need to keep it. And oh, by the way, let's change this hairdo, let's change this haircut. And now it was like a big story, and our buddy Brendan got his tweet on Hard Knocks. It was like all caps, you know, Fluce has a beard. And remember when it happened, it was like a big deal, and the Fluce glow up, everybody's kind of joking about it, but he walks with a different swagger now. There's something about it. He's dressing a little better. He's not a little better, a lot better. Like that suit he wore in, that was
fire.
That was clean. He looked good, you know? And so, I mean, so to me, maybe an odd choice, but I'm going Kelly Eberflus for winning episode one of Hard Knocks.
Just a couple of the names I think you could throw out there. As unfortunate as it ended, like I said, when you're looking like who won an episode, like who's going to be talking about this tomorrow? Like you're at the office, you're in the clinic or whatever. What are you talking about? I think you could throw Theo Benedict out there, you know, with his performance. And when you end it the way you did, there's a little bit of that heartbreak, a little bit of that like tugging there. I think that's also something that like people are going to be looking at this episode and discussing him. And then to play off what you said, Matt Eberflus's daughters, Giada and Grace, I'm going to mess up which one it was. This is all my fault. But the one that was sitting on the left of Kelly while they were at the game, I was into like how much she was into the game. I mean, she was there. She was like, you know, calling out plays, everything like that. I think that's cool when you have clearly like your daughter who is invested in what you do for your job. She understands what's going on with the game. I think that's really cool. So she gets a nod as well.
Yeah, she said, like, we don't want to show too much because we play them in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, wow, okay. Like, she knows the schedule, right? Like, there's a lot of people that wouldn't necessarily, you know, have that, right? I guess one thing that we did not talk about was the quarterbacks with the slip and slide. That was something that happened. Now, as a physician, how do you recommend practice sliding on a slip and slide?
Actually, I love the idea. Kerry Joseph, right, brought that up in the episode as something that the way that he was, one of the ways he was taught about sliding. It's a very safe and fun way to get the general mechanics down, right? Because if you're going to go on a slip and slide and you go feet first, cleat first, I mean, you're going to get potentially a flip at the end of the slide. No one wants that. You're not going to get hurt too bad, but going back to old school Dane Cook joke, you got to make sure there's no rock under the slip and slide or else, you know, bad things might happen there.
Yeah, you definitely have to keep it on the practice field. And they were, you know, throwing a lot of water on it. So I'm sure that probably didn't make the grounds crew all that happy, but looked really fun. And they talked about they were going to maybe bring that back at camp at some point or maybe at the end of camp. I thought that was pretty funny. We didn't really talk much about the Jonathan Owens and the Simone Biles and the dogs. I mean, we could have a whole dog category, right? Like or an animal, a lovable animal, but you know, bulldog, you know, like I did not know the Biles Owens household dog situation. But that was really cool to see him being able to go over to the Olympics, support her for a few of the days. And obviously he watched, it's looked like the individual events, you know, back at home, and they were in the house and filming him watching the balance beam and the floor routine, which, you know, she won the individual silver in the floor. So it was cool to see that Simone Biles connection because, you know, the Bears are definitely going to want to play up the best athlete in the world, you know, married to someone who plays for the Bears. Like, yeah, bring her in, bring her into the stadium. Let's celebrate this Olympic greatness.
Hey, Bears number one fan, like absolutely, like come. My wife, again, wife was watching with me, and when those dogs popped up, she was like, hey. Because she works at a VSC, Veterinary Specialty Center, up in Bannockburn. Oh, okay. So if unfortunately, that's a lot of bad things go there since it's a specialty center. But she was like, oh, maybe Simone Biles' dogs will end up in my clinic and then we can introduce each other. We can become best friends. It's going to be the best thing ever. For anyone who wants a weird snippet, if you're watching that scene where Jonathan Owens is watching Simone doing her, like you said, beam and floor routine, my wife caught that there's that little ottoman thing that's like in front of Jonathan Owens. And it looks like there's pee on it. So if you want to look, there's a little yellow spot on the ottoman on the floor. I missed that, but you know, of course, vet tech wife just zoned in on it.
Yeah, she was looking at the dogs. Did she catch the paw that was kind of like
it stuck out of the screen?
Yeah. Yeah, like there's like the dog was clearly sitting on the couch, and you could catch out of focus paw that was in part of it. It was focused on Owens. I caught that. I did not catch the dog pee, but that makes sense that your wife would catch that. Anything that we missed?
You know, we talked about this a little bit pre-show, but I was not like something that was in it that we missed, but I'm a surprise there wasn't a little more Hall of Fame specific stuff, you know, because we did hear that Devin Hester came and talked to the Bears, that there wasn't a snippet there of, you know, the Jets get their magician, but we don't get Devin Hester talking to the team. I thought that was interesting, but it's almost like a glutton of storylines for this Bears. Yeah. See, like, I mean, Hard Knocks is probably salivating and trying to figure out how the heck do we fit all of this into just this one episode? Because, I mean, the Bears started practicing weeks ago. A lot of times with the Hard Knocks team that's selected, you don't get this much access for this long. So, you know, you can understand where some things are just not going to be shown. Some things are going to slip through the cracks. So, but I was surprised by that.
Yeah, that like you said, they probably had too much, and these guys are making very fast decisions on what to cut. I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, "When was this game?" And I was like, "I was there. It was, you know, this was just a couple days ago." I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "How did they do this fast?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's really impressive, right? Yeah. It really is." And you know, some of that stuff's even more current than Thursday, right? So,
right.
That's really cool. Our guy Sam Householder, who is a car guy, he says that it is a Vanderhall car, Jalen Johnson's car. He says he can't tell which model it is, but it's probably a Venice or a Carmel.
Carmel. It's a Carmel. I saw that on the wheel.
Okay, there you go. So a Vanderhall. It looked cool. I'm sure that it's not cheap.
I'm very quickly trying to figure out how much this stupid thing costs. I'm sure
Jalen can afford it after signing the contract last year.
Oh, it's an electric EV car.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
$43,000. Sorry, $44,000.
Oh, that's not nearly as bad. I mean, I don't know what you're not going to drive it in the winter. You know, that's a very, like, that's a fun car that you take out. That's not a, I got to drive, you know, 5 hours, or I've got to drive when the weather's not good. So, but that's not necessarily as bad as I thought it was going to be. All right, that's what I got. Mason, thank you so much for doing the first episode of A Hard Knocks Life, and we're going to have fun with this. I'm happy that this met my expectations. What about you?
I'm ecstatic. Like you said, how into Hard Knocks you are, I'm the same way. I mean, I've watched this as every year as long as I can remember being a football fan. I mean, I still go back and I try to watch as many, like, YouTube clips and episodes. Every once in a while you can find a channel that's got some actual hour-long episodes, you know, going back and watching the Ravens with Tony Siragusa, watching the, you know, the rookie camp where they're making fun of everything. That one was awesome. The weird Antonio Brown Raiders one. I mean, I can go on and on, but to be able to
beat with the cryogenic thing.
Yeah, cryo, and then the helmet debacle, and then that was insane. But to be able to be a part of this, the inaugural episode of Hard Knocks Life, the first and potentially only time the Bears are doing something like this, this is pretty cool. So, you know, thanks for having me be a part of this.
I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate everybody joining us. And we'll be back next week for episode 2 of Hard Knocks Life. Thanks, everybody.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.